is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being locked in all over North America. You could be here in Georgia. You could be in California. You could be in New York with our producer, Ryan Botcher. You could be in Canada. You could be in a submarine. You could be on a base. Shout out to all of our folks out there on the military bases. Much love. And shout out to everybody out there getting money. People at work, the highways, the byways. If you getting it, keep on going. Okay, don't hurt nobody in the damn process. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it is channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. And about an hour from now, because of some of the ridiculous things we got going on in the world of sports, I'm going to give you a top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest cheapskate owners in sports today. Who are some owners that will not write the check? Damn it, they won't do anything. They may run the team out of town. They're so cheap. And we'll get into the top six in an hour from now. We know in 90 minutes from now, we're going to have game three of the NBA Finals between the Indiana Pacers. They will be hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Pacers are trying to go up 2-1 here against the Thunder. And the Thunder are just like, man, let's get one here right out the gate on the road. So when that game gets underway, of course, we'll keep you up to date here on the Infinity Sports Network. We got to wait another day to get closer to game four of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. So we got to wait on that until tomorrow. And we've already discussed a lot here today, this afternoon, this evening. The New York Knicks getting rejected by seemingly every team and every coach imaginable. We're just waiting on Kevin Durant to be moved, whatever the hell that is. Hey, we just heard from Nick Chubb. This man used to be on the Cleveland Browns. He ran away from that quarterback disaster, and now he's a member of the Houston Texans. Saquon Barkley, big things. Every week is something new with Saquon. He has a new contract. He's on the cover of a video game. He's the NFL's number one merchandise mover. What else is there for this guy to do? Is he going to wake up next year and run for 3,000 yards? I have no idea. Anyway, good for Saquon. Life is good. And as we continue on with the show, besides the top six, there's so many other things I want to get with you on. In about 20 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Tomer Azarli. He'll be joining us. Covers all things NBA for Clutch Points. There's so much to get into, even from an NBA perspective. Jaylen Brown had knee surgery. We got a lot to do. Speaking of surgery, Shohei Ohtani, we know this guy can mash a baseball. Coming off of Tommy John surgery again, when is Shohei Ohtani going to throw a baseball? And so we got some updates. We got a lot to do. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. A shout out to the gentleman who called last hour. He's on his way to the Pacers game. And he called to say, well, why am I hating on the Pacers? I got no problem with the Pacers. I just don't think they're going to win a series. And he eventually pretty much said the same damn thing. He's rooting for them, as you should. But sometimes you just got to be real. Sometimes you just have to be honest. Sometimes you just have to tell the truth. I don't know. Maybe it's a cliche. Maybe it's accurate. They say the truth shall set you free. Is that true? I guess. I don't know. I know someone who has always been brutally honest. Maybe not. Vaguely honest, maybe. Told the truth. I have no idea. Not a lot of talking. Is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has spent his entire public life, especially as head coach of the New England Patriots for the past, going on 20 years at that point in time. He spent all that time not saying anything. He was a master of saying nothing and just thinking ahead and moving forward. Now Bill Belichick is the head coach at North Carolina. And I thought he was done talking about his girlfriend. Yeah, the young lady who's like 50 years younger than him. I thought he was finished. But Bill Belichick, now that we've passed the deadline, or at least his buyout has been dropped from $10 million to $1 million, he's not going anywhere. He's going to coach. And apparently, Bill Belichick wanted to make it clear again at his most recent press conference that his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, who at one point in time was receiving emails on his behalf at the university to help him out, he says that she doesn't have anything to do with the football program. And that also, the football team, oh, the guys, they don't care about my girlfriend. Listen to Belichick.
And do you expect your girlfriend to be on the sidelines during games going forward?
No, she doesn't have any role in the UNC football program. Again, there's been, you know, noise out there about a lot of different things. Again, our focus is, you know, day to day, getting better, stacking good days together.
Okay. All right. Damn. All this man was trying to, well, this is his doing. Like, this is the crazy part. In a lot of cases, you have coaches that they don't want distractions, right? That's all we hear from coaches. We don't want distractions. Organizations don't want distractions because they want to control everything. They want to control the players. They want to control how much money they make. And of course, there's a CBA. They have to work in conjunction and work together to a certain degree. Coaches want control. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it was reported, albeit maybe not to this extent or accurately, that one of the reasons that Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Jet is because Aaron Glenn, understandably so, he wants to be the voice in the locker room. He wants to be the voice for the organization. And he reportedly said, yeah, I don't need Aaron Rodgers undermining me in the locker room. Okay, I don't need a mutiny if I'm sitting around and say something that, you know, people look at Aaron Rodgers and go, hey, should we do what he says? What do you think, Aaron? Nobody needs that. It's basically what happened when Aaron Rodgers was with the Jets and Rob Saleh was running the team. Aaron Rodgers was sitting around on a busted up Achilles in California. Rob Saleh was coaching the New York Jets throughout the season. Rob Saleh would have a press conference. And then 5 minutes later, Aaron Rodgers is on Pat McAfee doing a 40-minute interview. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you got to understand the pecking order and actually work in the concept and the construct of a team. And so Bill Belichick has always tried to protect that. Keep the media at bay. You're not really going to know the real Belichick, okay? You're not going to know what's going on inside the four walls. I'm going to protect everything that goes on in here like a state secret. And so the guy no longer has an NFL job. He's a free man from the NFL, by the way, Robert Kraft. They didn't mutually agree to leave. Robert Kraft basically told his man, bye. Now Belichick is free. Now we're finding out about his girlfriend. He's taking her outside. Nothing wrong with that. Bacha, you should take your girlfriend outside every now and then, right? Is that advisable?
Well, to media interviews and whatnot? Take him to like a 60 minutes interview?
No, outside, Bacha.
I'm just saying, outside's good, but
there you go.
Press
there
stuff
you go.
Is questionable.
I'm just saying outside. Every now and then, Bacha, I'm not talking about Belichick. Every now and then, you got to take your girlfriend outside, right? Happy? You're not married, right?
Nope. Not dating either.
Okay, well, a smart man, I guess. Saving money. Good. It's advisable to take your partner outside. Otherwise, your partner goes, hey, you don't like me. You don't want to see me. You don't want me to meet your friends. It's advisable to take your partner outside. There comes a point in time, though, if you're Bill Belichick, and you've spent your damn career keeping things quiet, making sure that there are no distractions. And he's gone past taking his girlfriend outside, to Botch's point. He's promoting his book and bringing her to his 60-minute interviews, okay? He's working at a public university in North Carolina, and he's sending emails saying, hey, you got to put my girlfriend on an email so she can help me out. And then you can't smirk or smile or cut your teeth when people are asking, hey, what's her involvement? Man, you can't sit around on her Instagram playing fisherman while she's a mermaid on the beach, and you want to limit distractions. Bill Belichick wasn't born yesterday, but apparently Bill Belichick is, he's feeling some type of tingle. He's feeling bothered, okay? He's feeling it. What it is, I will leave it up to you to determine what it is. He seems a little whipped. I don't know. Maybe he found somebody 50 years his junior, and all of a sudden he has completely lost his mind. One of the greatest football minds of all time has now entered into a space where, because of his own doing, he has now caused the distraction. All that grumble, mumble, on to Cincinnati, all that we got all those years with Bill Belichick is done. You want to know why? Because Bill Belichick, he kept it about the game. He didn't make it about himself. The guy popped up at Celtic games with his age-appropriate girlfriend, and nobody batted an eye. Now, everybody can pretend like, oh, my God, what I do in my private life is my private. He's right to a certain degree, but that's not the reality. You can keep your private life private. You don't got to take her out to red carpets. You don't have to have her running all of that. And if you are, and which he has, well, Bill Belichick, you're just like everybody else. You now got to pay the price. And so don't have a fit and don't be upset when people ask you about your girlfriend. It's not going to stop. Even if she's not standing on the sidelines, is she going to be sitting in a box? Is she going to, because she's a model, is she going to sashay into North Carolina games? I don't know. Is Lawrence Taylor going to walk in with her and accompany her because Bill Belichick is working? Like, these are the questions that Bill Belichick pretty much set up. Get used to it. It's just crazy after all these years. The man who controlled the narrative and controlled the stories and the messaging. So apparently he can't even control things himself right now. And Bill Belichick is, he's feeling some things, okay? Distraction to the team? Not now. I doubt that any of the players have to answer questions about her. But I'll tell you this, come on now. Their families, players, everybody in the locker room, everybody has been, is, and likely will be talking about his girlfriend. Unless all of a sudden she's no longer his girlfriend. And I mean, if you are her, why would you not be Bill Belichick's girlfriend? I'm sure it has its financial benefits. Okay. And good for her. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of coaches, we did get an update on Deion. I mean, after everything that went on yesterday, Deion Sanders decided to go online, knowing that there is now an undisclosed issue here with Deion Sanders due to his health. His son, with good reason, did not want to address his father's health as he's trying to become the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. But Deion Sanders basically went online earlier today on X, and he said, "Wow. I'm truly blessed for the abundance of well wishes, for all the thoughts and all of the prayers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can assure you all that everything is okay and will continue to be so. God has me like no other. I have so much more work to do to glorify God, so please believe God got me. I'm excited to get back to Colorado to be at home with my staff, team, and all associated to our program. When we arrive back to Boulder, you'll be updated on everything. Until then, I'm coming, baby. Coach Prime." So, I don't know. None of my business. I know what he shared publicly. And that's a lot of information, unfortunately, about his blood clots, the amputation of his toes. So, whatever the hell he's going through, I wish Deion Sanders nothing but the best. Hey, two coaches communicating different things. Deion's girlfriend, I don't think his girlfriend is 50 years younger than him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some NBA. There's a lot going on Giannis to Durant to the Knicks and Celtics injuries. We have a lot to discuss. Tomer Azarli is going to join us on the other side from Clutch Points. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're a little bit away, about an hour and change away from Game 3 of the NBA Finals is going to take place in Indianapolis, Indiana. We know that the Pacers are trying to stay out of a deficit. Meanwhile, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to take a 2-1 lead. There's so many other stories going on in the NBA from coast to coast all over the country, from the New York Knicks and what they got going on with their coaching situation, even as far out to California, okay? And we're going to talk about this with someone from California who covers all things NBA for Clutch Points. We are being joined by Tomer Azarli. Tomer, how are you, man?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Absolutely. Not a complaint in the world. How are you enjoying this NBA Finals so far?
I mean, look, you have two high-paced, great defensive teams. I'm really enjoying it so far. Two cities that I haven't really had a chance to explore as much. And two rising superstar point guards. It's been fun. It's been a blast so far.
And, I mean, based on what we've seen, is there anything that you're looking forward to the most? I mean, the Pacers have pretty much been playing catch up. How do you foresee the rest of the series going?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Thunder have led for like 46 minutes in each game so far. And this is a 1-1 series right now. I think the Pacers will look to play better at home here back in Indianapolis. And then I think, you know, Tyrese Haliburton has kind of had a rough game too. So I'm curious to see how he kind of bounces back. There's that age old saying where, you know, role players play better at home. But this Pacers team has kind of been the exception to that, where they've had big performances from everyone, home or road. So I'm curious to see if they can get a big kind of performance here from, you know, an Aaron Nesmith, TJ McConnell back at home. I think, you know, this Pacers depth is such a big part of what they do. And I'm curious to see if they can get everyone going so far back at home.
So Mayor Azarli is here with us from Clutch Points. When you think about some of the, well, this is the largest story going on outside of the NBA Finals. It's this disaster with the New York Knicks. They fired Tom Thibodeau. They're now asking all around the country as to whether they can grab a Jason Kidd or Quinn Snyder and Finch. It goes on and on. What is the perception, especially being out in Los Angeles? Are people looking at the New York Knicks right now like a joke?
That is an accurate assessment, I would say. I think a lot of people, especially here, having a chance to talk with a lot of the media folks, a lot of people are very confused as to why they are going after, coaches who are already, you know, established and already have jobs, I should say. I think Jason Kidd was one of them, Chris Finch, Ime Udoka, now we heard Quinn Snyder. So these are all coaches who, you know, I think if they wanted to leave, they probably would. And so I'm very curious as to why they're doing that. And a guy like Michael Malone, I know, has been available and very highly regarded in the NBA. So a very interesting choice here by the Knicks to kind of go after guys who are taken. But, I mean, hey, I guess you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
Well, yeah. You gotta get your hands on something. Seems like they didn't have a plan in that process. Tomer, I know things are rather stacked out west. I know you're out. You carefully follow the Clippers, obviously. The Lakers are out there as well. When you think about what the future looks like for the West, and we know there's a lot of trades that have to take place. We'll get to Kevin Durant momentarily. This division, this conference is stacked from top to bottom. Do you see it staying that way in the foreseeable future, despite any potential trades?
I mean, it's been this way for as long as I can remember, dating back to the, you know, early 2010s, maybe even before that. I think it's always been a highly competitive conference, probably the better conference of the two. And so I think, you know, you've seen a lot of stars leave the East and head West over the years. And, you know, I think Giannis, there's a fear that if Giannis comes over to the West, like, what's left in the East? So I don't think there's any doubt this will be the best conference in the NBA. And, you know, there's a lot of really good teams that, you know, will just probably fall in the play-in or fall out of the top six or even fall out of the playoff spot. Because there's such an immense amount of talent and depth in the NBA, especially in the Western Conference. So I don't expect that to change anytime soon, although you are seeing some teams prepare for the ramifications of the new CBA, which was, you know, going to cause some teams to break up their big cores. So You know, I think a team like the Thunder is a good example of a team that probably needs to win now before they have to pay guys like Chet Holmgren, guys like Jalen Williams. And so I think they have big decisions to make. So this is why a year like this year and next year will be very important for them.
And so Mayor Azarli is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. We know one of the biggest names still in the NBA is probably going to be on the move. It's Kevin Durant. We heard about all the teams that he potentially could move to or that he might have interest in, everything from the San Antonio Spurs to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Where do you believe would be the best spot and fit for Kevin Durant as he continues his career?
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends on which team feels like they're ready to win now. A team like Houston probably feels like they're ready to win now, and I think would make sense for him. A team like San Antonio, you know, like, although they did get De'Aaron Fox and they have Victor Wembanyama, like, I think there's still a little bit of growing there to do with a guy like Stephon Castle, and if they end up drafting someone like Dylan Harper, if they end up keeping that pick. I think there's some wiggle room for them to actually grow. Like, they're not ready just yet, in my opinion. I might be wrong, but, I think it just depends on which teams feel like they're ready to compete now. The Timberwolves are an example of a team that's probably ready to win right now. We know all about Anthony Edwards and his love for KD growing up and their relationship from dating back to the, you know, Olympic team and even before that. So I think those three teams, the Timberwolves, the Rockets, and the Spurs, probably, in no particular order, are probably the teams best suited to go for KD and then probably win right away. But, you know, I think it just depends. A lot of this, as we've seen in the postseason, can be a little bit of injury luck. Can you stay healthy and avoid the ticky-tack injuries down the stretch? So, but those three teams, I would say, are probably the best fits for KD, the Rockets, the Wolves, and the Spurs.
And so, Mayor, I know you cover the Clippers very close to that situation. When you think about just it's bad, but you take a look at Kawhi and his injury history. Thank God he was healthy this past season. What can the Clippers possibly do, if anything, to kind of keep the boat and ship afloat towards trying to win a championship? I feel like they're just kind of stuck in the middle right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you have to just kind of look at it from the perspective of they went for it in 2019 when they acquired Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Unfortunately, it just wasn't, you know, in the cards for them to win. They got a little injury prone. You know, when you add the 2019 Finals MVP and the top three finalists for MVP with the core that they had before that, like, I think you expect to be a highly competitive team. And unfortunately, they just had, you know, Kawhi tore the ACL. They kind of fell apart in the bubble. So, you know, I think from here, you kind of just, I think they have a good enough team to be competitive. Like, I think the playoffs are so matchup based and it's really getting the right matchup. Like, I thought they could have beaten Denver if they didn't blow game one, if they didn't lose on a putback dunk in game four. Like, who knows how things change. And so I think when you look at the Clippers team, they have the depth and they have some of the pieces to make the moves, but it feels like a team that's kind of biding their time until the next superstar kind of becomes available. You know, I think if you look at their cap sheet and their payroll, they're kind of lining everything up to be off the books by 2027. And so you have a couple free agents that might be available by then. You may have a guy who's an expiring superstar who wants to come there, request a trade there. So I think they're trying to remain competitive and not, you know, bottom out, while also having a clear eye and keeping some openings for free agency in a year or two, or some trades, some guys who might request trade over the years. So I think, yeah, you kind of hit it. They're right in the middle here. They just finished this OKC trade with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, where the picks are finally gone. They can start accruing their own picks back in 2030 and 2031. So, yeah, I think they're kind of just taking their time here, not bottoming out, like I said, but remaining competitive while keeping an eye on the future.
And so Mayor Azarli is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. Man, you and Indy, what is the vibe in the city? Obviously, there's some anticipation, but I feel from even the Pacers' perspective, their fans' perspective, they know they're the underdogs. How's the overall vibe in the city? Does it feel like, you know, everybody is waiting on something special to happen, or is it just kind of business as usual?
I mean, look, I'll say from watching their finals run from afar, their playoff run from afar, like, I don't think anyone thought they would, you know, beat Milwaukee the way they did. I don't think anyone thought they'd beat Cleveland the way they did. And once they did, it was like, okay, this team might be for real. And then once they did what they did to the Knicks, I think there's a very, very strong belief, even though they are the underdog against the 64-win Thunder team, this is a team very, very capable of putting on comeback wins, masterful performances at home. Like, we've seen everything from them. They've shot the lights out of the ball consistently this postseason. It's not a fluke anymore. They are a good shooting team. And they have the depth and they have the defensive capability to get out and run. I think the biggest thing really is just the turnovers. If they can keep those turnovers down, especially at home, This Gainbridge Field I was going to be rocking tonight and hopefully in Game 4. So I think fans here are excited. I think they recognize there's a big opportunity. Like, you stole Game 1 of the NBA Finals. You have home court on your side. I think what the thing they've said is that this is going to be like a 20-day series. It's not just Game 1, Game 2, or these two home games. It's a long series, and you have to pace yourself mentally, physically, and not get too high or not get too low. And so I think after Game 1, you have a big win. You try to stay level-headed. You lose Game 2. Again, try to stay level-headed coming into Game 3. And a crowd that's going to be very excited to see them. So I think if they can win one of these two home games here, starting with Game 3, I think they'll be in a very good position. But people here are so excited to watch. They're hyped.
All right, Tomer, you got your earplugs ready? You got them ready?
I do, actually. I'm all charged up and ready to go.
All right, Tomer. Well, thank you so much for the time. I know you're covering the games, but enjoy them as well. We appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they can follow you and keep up with all your work.
Yeah, so you can follow me at TOMERAZARLY on Twitter and Instagram. You also follow me on Clutch Points. That's where my work is at, clutchpoints.com, and our social pages. But, that's where you can follow all my content, written and social.
No doubt. Tomer, thank you so much. Enjoy the basketball game and safe travels. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
Thanks. Appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
No doubt about that. That Tomer Azarli coming to us live from Indianapolis, Indiana, as he gets ready to cover Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Obviously, we see the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to take a 2-1 series lead, and the Pacers, they're trying to go up 2-1 at home. Okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. At the top of the hour, of course, I'm going to bring you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest cheapskates in the world of sports. But before we do that, there's more. I know we talked about Bill Belichick and his personal life and how it's bleeding into football and questions. And Angel Reese, I don't want to say her personal life, but she's back in the news because one of her teammates tried to defend her. I'm trying to figure out how it all makes sense. I'll let you hear about it on the other side of the break. We'll talk about it, and then we'll get to a top six list. But right now, it's time to get to a news flash. Here he is, Chris Lopresti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Thank you to our guest in the last break, Tomer Azarli, for joining us from Clutch Points. Covers all things NBA basketball. He is live in Indianapolis, Indiana, as we're now about an hour away from the start of Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Let's see if OKC is going to take a 2-1 lead or whether or not it's going to be the Indiana Pacers. At the top of the hour, I told you I'm going to be sharing with you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest cheapskate owners in sports right now. These are owners, they won't spend, they won't use their money, they won't build the team. They can do what they want. They bought the team, they can do what they want, but they're just cheap. And some of them have a good reason. Some of them are just jerks. And I'll let you be the judge. We'll get into the top six list in about 20 minutes. I do want to mention this. You know, at the top of this hour, we heard from Bill Belichick as he once again, and I know he's sick and tired of it, he had to address the situation with his girlfriend and whether or not she is involved with North Carolina football. And he's just like, no, she's not. Stop asking me. He didn't say that, but that was pretty much the tone in his response. And it's just like, but dude, this is a problem that you created by making your private life public. You did it. Nobody else did it but you, Bill Belichick. And I do want to respond, or at least make a point or a comment about somebody else who, you know, sometimes I think you have to take responsibility for how you lay things out, and you got to be prepared for what comes back. This is not Bill Belichick. The person I'm referring to now is Angel Reese. Yeah, we all know about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and LSU and Iowa and NBA, or excuse me, WNBA draft. And now Angel Reese is here in her second year in the WNBA. Her celebrity and her profile has grown exponentially over the past several years, coming out of LSU and winning a national championship and the back and forth and the taunting between her and Caitlin Clark. And we see where it's grown into. She has a podcast and food deals and cereal. And God bless her. She is making more money being a celebrity than she is being a WNBA basketball player. And she catches a lot of crap on both, okay? Specifically the basketball right now. Damn it, we had Lisa Leslie on this show just about 2 months ago. And Lisa Leslie was talking about how Angel Reese can do better in developing her offense. And she said that she was willing to go out there and do so. But Angel Reese is getting smacked to pieces every single day in game because of her performance. Like last night, her team, the Chicago Sky, took on the New York Liberty. Okay? The Chicago Sky got smoked. The Liberty are probably the best team in the league. They now have a record of 9-0. Meanwhile, Chicago, their record has fallen to 2-6. The final score was 85-66. Angel Reese finished up the game with 17 points. And then she also, she's known for her rebounds, a lot of them of the offensive kind. She hauled in 11 rebounds. For the season, she's shooting below 40% from the field. And there are videos and highlight reels or lowlight reels of Angel Reese just trying to make layups and just being denied by nobody. And so naturally, when you're such a public figure, and you are, I don't want to say failing, but like her field goal, she can't make shots close to the basket. That's just the reality. And she's criticized for it. She was just named BET Sportswoman of the Year, I think, for a consecutive season. Being famous for just, I think, for being famous. She does the celebrity walks and into the arena. And so she captures a lot of attention. And so last night, following the beatdown and the loss, she was asked by one of the media members whether or not she is inaccurately kind of targeted or beat up in the public based on who she is. And her teammate, Arielle Atkins, was sitting right next to her. And she pretty much said, no, Angel, I got this. And she came to her defense. Listen to this.
Can I say something? This is a 23-year-old kid. And the amount of crap that she gets on a day-to-day, and she still shows up. So whatever questions y'all got, like, about our team, basketball-wise, we appreciate it. But all the other nonsense, like, it's irrelevant. Like, we here to play basketball, and do what we do. We having a hard time right now at the end of the day. Just a 23-year-old kid who handles herself with grace. Her crown is heavy. So whatever else, like, y'all want to come at her for the way that she acts, she has to build the wall. She has to have the wall. Because if she doesn't, people will break her down. Not only just because of the way she looks, but it's because of the way she carries herself. She doesn't just walk around and act like, oh, I'm just, no, she knows who she is. And we ain't going to break her down for that. So whatever other questions y'all got, like, I'm hoping it's just about basketball, maybe a box score question. But the kid's crown is heavy. Like, respect that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. She is 23. Arielle Atkins isn't all that much older than her at the same time. I just looked up. She's 28, about to be 29. I don't know. I think over the course of Angel Reese's time in public life, coming from Maryland and going down to LSU, becoming a champion, and the back and forth on the basketball court with Caitlin Clark, and you know, she was mad at the foul from Caitlin Clark a couple of weeks ago. Some of her social media activity. Like, this is the world and that we live in. This is just what it is. Like, if Angel Reese was out here knocking down, I don't know, 60% of her shots and blocking shots, then I don't think she'd have the criticism. It's just that on one hand, she's become a massive celebrity and had the success in college. And on the other hand, yeah, she can accumulate numbers and statistics rebounding the basketball at the WNBA level. People are clowning her because of her performance out there on the court. And so unless you're going to raise your field goal percentage and I don't know, do that or maybe not pop up at an award show. Like, there's a balance in life. And sometimes you got to figure out what the main thing is. Get all the money that you can. Get your money, take your money, get it up. But you got to be prepared for the backlash. That's just the world we live in 2025. Like, there's nowhere to hide. And here's the reality of it. If we went back to 1998, and I get it, we're in a different space. With her talent, without having the internet at her disposal, would she be able to make the money she has now? No. I mean, it took all these years later for the league to be where it is. Social media, it's a gift and it's a curse. It's like every other tool. How are you going to use it to your advantage? And she has certainly used it to make a lot of money. But that doesn't excuse her from, you know, criticism. And so I don't get it. Let her stand up for herself. There's times when she does and times where she doesn't. I think there's times where, you know, she puts herself out there or responds to things or doesn't respond to things. I don't think Angel Reese is just, you know, someone that is that the crown is heavy. I don't know about all of that. Like, sometimes you make your bed, you got to lie down in it. Are there a lot of jerks and you know what's that say a lot of terrible, awful things about her? Yeah. Are there people that go too far? Yes, and absolutely. But there also comes a point in time where you have to look at what you're doing. This goes back to what I said about Bill Belichick. Come on, I just spent 10 minutes saying how ridiculous he is right now. For so long, he was in control of what was said, what wasn't said. Complete control. Belichick was. Everybody has a degree of control. It's a matter of how you weigh things and what you want to do with it. I hope Angel Reese improves as a basketball player. And as she grows and gets older, I certainly hope that she understands as well. Hey, you know what? Maybe I've made a good amount of money here on the marketing side. You know, maybe I don't want to be criticized on a basketball side. Maybe I can make a layup. I don't know. You're in the public eye. You can be criticized just like everybody else. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. John is here from Maryland, home of Angel Reese. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, I just wanted to say I fully agree with you. I do think that, I watched the game last night, and they were down 10-0 early. Angel Reese had 7 points in the first quarter, and she kind of went silent. Two quarters by that time, they was down by 30. But I do think that Angel Reese is known for being a basketball player. And I think the problem is that she hasn't really been excelling at basketball. So because she hasn't been excelling at basketball, we still see her with Lotto and with all the rappers knowing all this stuff that's marketing is great and everything. But you talk about how we're going to sit out and X, Y, Z, but it's like you're not performing well in basketball, which is what your job is. You know, that's your job. That's what you went to college for. That's what you strive to be, one of the greats. So I just think that that's the reason why a lot of people have, a lot of pushback with her. Because of the fact that she's not really doing what she's supposed to be doing on the basketball court.
Well,
all the other stuff is cool, so.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, and thank you, John, for calling from Maryland. I don't want to say that she's not excelling. She is still someone at this point in time who can put up a double-double. Now, is it efficient? No, it's not. I mean, shooting sub 40% and you're supposed to be a big out there on the basketball court is certainly not efficient, but there's room for growth. Yeah, I was still kind of shocked that Lisa Leslie said it publicly that, hey, I can and I'll work with her on her offense. I'm like, whoa, that's if I'm Angel Reese. She sat on her own podcast and said it to her face, and God bless Lisa Leslie. I mean, that's someone that you have to respect if you're playing in the WNBA, especially if you're almost the same damn size. They're almost the same size. So I'm not going to say she's not excelling. There wouldn't be all this criticism if she was out there killing it. It said, if you can give the ball to Angel Reese down low and she could get it, what are people going to say? If she could help lead and turn around their record, what are people going to say? The answer is nothing. If she was knocking down jump shots, what are people going to say? Nothing. And so there's a point in time where she has to weigh, hey, am I fine with where my game is? Probably not. Why wouldn't you want to get better at any career thing, that profession that you have? And then on the other hand, How much do you want to weigh that with celebrity? Where, of course, you leave money down. Can Angel Reese still succeed making tons of money if she's not on TV playing basketball? Like, if she's not playing basketball, is she now just an influencer? Liz Cambage walked away from the WNBA for a lot of reasons. She's modeling and she's selling cannabis, and she's criticized a lot, too. I don't think she cares about being in a WNBA. Is Angel Reese in that space? As long as she's playing basketball and being an influencer, she has to weigh what that looks like. And maybe she doesn't care about the criticism. But when you have people defending you like that, somebody cares, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back on the other side of the break, it is Wednesday. It's going to be time for a new top six list. We've had a lot of players not getting paid. We've had a lot of teams that are doing some funny things. I'm going to share with you a top six list, some of the biggest cheapskate owners in sports today. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're doing that on the other side of the break. Don't move.